and to train people in a few months. Toshi hired staff to manage the school and to teach. When the academy opened, 3/4 of the applicants were not even Asian. Toshi accepted them all. He couldn't be certain, but he assumed that many of his fellow Japanese sushi chefs considered him a traitor for welcoming outsiders into the world of sushi. The way Toshi saw it, Americans had already embraced sushi, and it would be foolish not to train American chefs. Since then, a few other sushi schools had opened in LA, including the Sushi Chef Institute, run by a former instructor at Toshi's Academy. So far, these were the only formal training programs for sushi chefs in the United States. Anyone could apply to the California Sushi Academy. Toshi didn't require his students to have restaurant or kitchen experience. Hobbyists and home cooks had attended the school, along with experienced chefs, including seasoned veterans of some of America's best kitchens. Not all of the graduates went on to become professional sushi chefs. Over the years, the proportion of non-Asian students had remained high.
Ohayou gozaimasu!
Toshi bellowed to the class. This meant good morning in Japanese, but around the restaurant, the chefs said it whenever they arrived for work, even if it was afternoon or evening. Toshi taught the class another word,
いらっしゃいませ!
That meant welcome. Sushi chefs yelled it whenever a customer walked in. Most Americans thought Japanese people were supposed to act quiet and dignified, but in old Tokyo, sushi chefs were loud and boisterous. Kate liked Toshi immediately. He was cheerful and stern at the same time, like a monk who was also a kung fu warrior. Toshi asked the 9 students to introduce themselves. Kate looked around at the people who would be her classmates for the next 12 weeks. There were 6 men and 2 other women. It had never occurred to her that most of her classmates would be men. It hadn't occurred to her that there was anything unusual about a woman, or her in particular, wanting to become a sushi chef. Kate didn't see why a 20-year-old Irish-Italian girl with a pierced belly button and a nose stud couldn't make sushi. The other students were also young, and a majority of them were white. They had come to the academy for a variety of reasons. Most of them had restaurant, kitchen experience, and a few already had experience making sushi. Kate had neither. One young man had made his start mass-producing sushi at a Whole Foods grocery store in North Carolina, and he wanted to move up to restaurant work. Another had seen how widespread sushi had become, and he hoped to purchase his own sushi restaurant in Southern California. A man from El Paso, Texas, had been sent by his company, a real estate and restaurant development firm, because sushi was the hot new meal on the Mexican border. Several of the students, including a woman from Barcelona, wanted to open their own catering business. A 17-year-old blonde boy from Colorado thought working behind a sushi bar would be a great way to meet girls. There was one young woman, still in high school, who looked Japanese. She was from LA. Her dad wanted her to learn Japanese food. There were 2 guys who looked Filipino or Indonesian, but they were both American. At the far end of the table was a man from Japan. He introduced himself in broken English in a quiet voice. Apparently, he'd come all the way from Japan to learn sushi in California. That seemed odd. Toshi turned the class over to the Academy's coordinator for student affairs, a Japanese-American man named Jay Terauchi. Jay would be keeping his eye on the students throughout the semester and would help them with whatever they needed. Jay handed out their uniforms, black pants, white chef's jackets embroidered with the words California Sushi Academy, and white pillbox-style chef's caps. Dressed in her street clothes, Kate had a slim and shapely figure, but her chef's jacket was too big, and when she put it on, she looked like a kitchen appliance. Finally, Toshi introduced the Academy's chief instructor, who would be teaching most of the classes. Kate was surprised to see that the instructor wasn't Japanese.
"My name is Zoran,"
he said in an Australian accent. His full name was Zoran Lekic. The exotic-sounding name came from his Yugoslav ancestry. He'd grown up in Australia. As if a Yugoslav-Australian sushi chef wasn't unusual enough, Zoran had served in the elite Royal Australian Air Force, had been a champion bodybuilder, and had worked as a right-hand man to one of Australia's wealthiest entrepreneurs. In search of something new, he'd attended the California Sushi Academy and become a sushi prodigy. When he graduated in 2003, at the age of 31, Toshi had hired him on the spot. Now, Zoran taught at the academy during the day and worked behind the sushi bar in the restaurant at night. Zoran was well-proportioned, but there was nothing